Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah.
And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
In the great city of Chicago with Hoodie, I'm Cap. Hope you're having a good, fun morning. You ready to attack your day? 312-332-3776. So Danny monitors the wire services, the social media, everything that's out there with all of the breaking news. And
yeah, Danny, what's going on with the wire services today?
Guys, these wires are tangled.
And there is a report from a very credible source, CBS.
CBS Sports. His name is Jonathan Jones.
He's a well-known NFL writer.
So he has a piece that's out today. He writes about, you know, Deshaun Watson. He writes about the Giants. And then at the very bottom, he writes, Bears soon to be opening attractive.
Yes, this is the segment that we have here that's already sponsored. It's called Danny Reads Cap the News. Go ahead, Danny. What do you have?
I am a very good reader. I think that I should be hired to read books on tapes.
I was going
to
say, you'd be great at books on tape.
I love books on tapes, guys. And now as I say that, I will stammer and stutter my way through reading this to you guys.
Because books on tapes, that's reading, right?
If it is, if you say it isn't, you're wrong.
You're unbelievable. That's not reading, but go ahead.
All right, gentlemen, this is from Jonathan Jones, CBS Sports. Quote, whether it happens today or tomorrow or any day between now and January 10th following the final game of the regular season, Bears head coach Matt Nagy will be relieved of his duties in Chicago. It is likely that general manager Ryan Pace will meet a similar fate, and it'll be the dawn of a new era in the Windy City. With more than a month left in the regular season, the Bears' job, either one of them, seems like it'll be the best one on the market. That's the overwhelming response I've gotten from sources around the league and coaches and personnel execs as they gear up for the new hiring-firing cycle.
I see. Well, Jeff, you know, I don't know about you, but I get my Bears news from the patch. Go ahead, Cap. What do you have for us?
Yeah, I'm all in on the patch. They've got such great sourcing.
Uh-huh.
He also has one interesting note here that I'd like to read that it's in the middle of some stuff that doesn't really matter where he talks about the roster, but he writes, quote, ownership is not known to meddle, meaning the folks hired for the job can simply do their job.
You mean like when they tell the coach who to start at quarterback? I don't believe that nonsense that they didn't stop. Monday. Meller's got the sound there. Nick's the one, Justin's the two. No, sorry. Andy's the one, Justin's the two, Nick's the three. The next day, Justin, I'm going to make you the quarterback going forward. Don't even look over your shoulder.
Well, you know how I am, Danny, with all this. I like to have a second source on that. And, you know, actually, any of us in this room and in this studio could have written that column that if the Bears keep going in this direction, that they're going to change the general manager and the head coach. That's actually what should happen. Now, if it's going to happen, I don't know. Cap has some kind of inside knowledge here that there's a possibility that Ryan Pace could still stay with the organization after firing Matt Nagy, where somehow, some way, Ryan could survive and be kicked upstairs, which is nonsense to me, which makes no sense. If you are together, tied together, as an organization, as a GM and head coach, if you are underachievers, you both should be gone. There isn't any scenario where I say, you know what, Ryan really did a really good job. He deserves to be kicked upstairs, to fail up. Nonsense.
Now, with all due respect, Waddle was the first to say that. I made some calls and followed him, but Waddle was the first to say it. I mean,
still,
just be fair.
And it's still nonsense. I would not do that because that's a bad look.
That's a different discussion. I don't disagree with you. But that's what happens when you're in a mom-and-pop organization where you literally have no football minds in upper management above the GM.
But
none.
I would say of what I read to you, The most interesting thing is, obviously, we all know Matt Nagy's probably gone. Obviously, we think there's a chance that Ryan Pace would be gone. So that wasn't like breaking news, shocking reporting out of him. Mm-hmm. The most interesting thing is that he says he has talked
to
most
attractive job.
Yes, several sources around the league that says this would be the number one job opening. We've talked, and I know Sylvie has been on his soap opera, that the way the Bears handled the whole Matt Nagy thing leading into the Thanksgiving Day game was so embarrassing that coaches might shy away from coming here.
He's saying that's inaccurate.
Yes, the organization is run like a joke. This guy is actually saying, no, if this job's available, everyone's going to want it.
Interesting. Very, very interesting.
Okay, it's an interesting, it's an appealing job because of the market, because of the history of the Bears. Let's put that to the side. Everybody knows the history of the Bears.
And Justin Fields.
Justin Fields is a big part of that, yes. But do I have full autonomy to do what I need to do? Is Ted and George sticking their beak in there? Or can I be able to run the organization like, I don't know, like a major NFL franchise? Not from the money standpoint, but as far as the football infrastructure. Can I do that?
I think, again, why I should believe in that crew up there, I don't know. But I think it's gotten so ridiculous and so awful that George will just, here you go. How much? That's it. Fix it.
You know what? Jeff, can you help me with this?
I can try.
Okay, so based on what Danny read from CBS Sports, Jonathan Jones says that it's the most attractive job. I'm looking at the NFL, and I'm looking at either veterans, established coaches, or young coaches trying to get their program together. Jets are one of them. All right, so Salah is not going to be out. Urban Meyer, as far as we know, is going to be year two with the Jaguars.
Yeah, he just stick issued in there, a right? statement. Stop with the speculation of Notre Dame or any other job. I'm staying here.
Just the whole salacious nature and all the other stuff that's going on with the Texans with Watson. I think by default, the Bears job would be the best job available.
Well, what job could potentially open?
Well, the Giants.
Okay, the Giants, Minnesota.
I don't know.
If they don't make the playoffs, yeah. I would think there's a chance that he gets fired.
Spielman. Are you talking about coaches or GMs?
Both.
So, and that's why I need your help, Jeff, because I think that by default, Chicago is that number one GM coaching job.
Yeah.
Look at the league.
No, when you factor everything in, part of the reason they're such a debacle is the people who are making the football decisions. Now, if you put somebody who knows what they're doing, if you have a competent GM, I think we've seen it. George McCaskey is not the type of owner that meddles.
Well, until this past Wednesday.
Well, listen, that was brought on by themselves, right? Like the McCaskey clan and all the people there who run the organization, you know, are there too many who have like little drippets of information and so they pass it off to other people? That's possible. I don't think that makes it an operation that can't function. The problem is you need people who are competent in their jobs. Unfortunately, Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy have proven not to be that.
So you know what, Danny, that last part that you gave us, by default, that's going to be the case. Like if they're going to get Judge out of there in New York, there won't be much of a Black Monday after the regular season's over. Everyone will be in place for the most part in the league. Who's getting fired? Besides maybe Joe Judge and Nagy. Look at the league. Browns, Cincinnati's get a young coach, solid.
But doesn't Schefter say that almost every year you can count on 8 job openings?
Not this upcoming season.
Minnesota could open.
Could open.
If they miss the playoffs.
Texans could open.
No way.
The guy is 65. He doesn't know.
What about the Broncos? Vic Fangio. What about the Raiders? That's a second job.
Well, that is open.
So yeah. That's 2.
Broncos still in the mix. Still in the hunt.
So are we.
Yeah, but I think Fangio is definitely, because they just had the new GM, too, who signed his deal last year.
George Payton.
Yes. I think that Fangio is probably out if
what
he doesn't.
Okay, Fangio's
okay, so
out.
Raiders, Broncos, Bears.
Texans,
potentially.
Jaguars.
No, that's not
Urban open. Meyer's name is being rumored at Notre Dame.
Yeah, he's already issued a statement.
Well, that's not a firing. Down there. Listen, he's having a rough time down there.
He's
I wouldn't be surprised.
He's not going there.
I wouldn't be surprised. Giants.
That's possible.
Joe Judge.
So we're up to 5.
Lions.
No, they just hired Dan Campbell on a 6-year deal.
Come on, Cap. If they go without a win this season,
they are not firing him. Hey, they paid him a lot of money over 6 years.
They've been through a winless season before, a couple years ago, right?
Their coach. That Remember? Was when Rod Marinelli was there.
Yes. they've been through this before.
What if Cliff Kingsbury leaves the Cardinals?
That becomes an attractive job.
And that's more attractive than us.
So you've got the ones that are legit right now, because I don't think they let Kingsbury get away.
No.
Mike McCarthy is not on stable ground.
He's fine. He's just got COVID. Go ahead.
Vegas Raiders, Las Vegas Raiders, Vikings, Bears, Giants. That's four.
I'm not sure about the Minnesota thing yet.
Minnesota, that's five.
Well, you mentioned the Vikings already in your four.
I did?
Yeah. So
Vegas.
Broncos.
Broncos. Vikings, Bears, Giants. That's five.
And what about Minnesota?
Funny guy.
What about Texans?
Six. Jaguars.
He's still holding on to the old timer. He still thinks that the Texans coach is going to stick around.
Yeah, I don't think they're moving on from him.
What about the Eagles?
No, they just
I think they're happy with Sirianni right now.
He sucks.
He's a bad coach.
So that's five jobs that
potentially. And the Bears. The point of that exercise is when Danny Reed says that the Bear job is a plum job. Well, I get it. Out of those jobs. Because you got the young quarterback in Justin Fields.
Correct. And if you're coming in with the same GM, like Ryan was here, he hired Matt. Mm-hmm. If you're coming in together, you're getting 6-year deals at a lot of money. The Bears are very, very loyal people. You know, if we don't win, it's on us. Like, they're going to completely turn everything over to those two.
The Broncos make the playoffs, they're going to fire Fangio?
No.
No, if they make the playoffs, but we'll see. You think they're making the playoffs, Broncos?
In the hunt.
Sure, they're in the hunt, but I, when that plays out, I would bet against them making the playoffs. Maybe I'll be wrong.
And the Texans. I love how Cap is still holding on to his own. That's great. The 60 and over, holding on to the old-timer. He doesn't know anymore.
There's no way they're firing David Culley.
He had an issue, with one of his best defensive players last week, and he sat him out of the game because they had a disagreement in a meeting. I can't remember the player's name, but the player was so shocked, he didn't even think that the disagreement was that big that it would cause him not to play in the game. But he's losing the room, Cap.
That doesn't mean he's losing the room. That shows me he's got discipline.
It's discipline if the player knows that what he did was wrong. It seemed like it was, from the story I read, it was just a disagreement. That happens all the time.
It's kind of strange, yeah. But I don't see the bloodletting like we normally get. But you never know at the end of the season.
How many jobs changed last year?
Well, you know, Schefter told us it was going to be 18 or 19 or something.
Remember
like
that?
Yeah. Or whoever. No, it wasn't him. No, it was Tannenbaum.
No, it was Schefter.
That got it from Tannenbaum, though. No, I think Schefter said it and Tannenbaum backed it up.
And how many jobs did end up opening last year?
What was it, Jeff? Like 7 or 8?
There wasn't a lot.
It wasn't 16, right?
How many new coaches are in the NFL this year? Sirianni at Philly, Dan Campbell at Detroit,
Houston,
David Culley at Houston,
Jacksonville,
Salah,
Urban Meyer, Robert Salah. That's five.
Right. The Charger job.
Brandon Staley is six.
Yep.
Is there any others?
Arthur Smith.
Arthur Smith at Atlanta. That's seven.
Yep. And that'll do it.
That's it?
Dan Campbell.
We said him already.
You did?
That's seven.
Yep. Schefter says it's around eight every year. By the way, that player that I was talking about was safety Justin Reed. He was shocked and confused why he'd sat out that Texans game.
Right. Actually, it was DeVergent.
That's really his
He's
name.
He's a practice squad.
Who are you? Divergent.
Divergent.
Duh.
Keyshawn Johnson will discuss NFL football, and we'll have some laughs with Key next.
Like that. Laughs.
Cap J. Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J. Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Keyshawn Johnson. This dude is working hard. I want to be his agent.
You do?
Yes.
10%?
No, I would take a much smaller chunk of that.
Nine.
9.5 No, I'm telling you, I'm watching yesterday, and there he is at the table doing whatever it was, NFL Live or Sports Center, whatever.
First take yesterday? Yeah.
Yeah. They got to take care of this guy. He is programming the entire station.
That's true.
Key, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, it wouldn't be much. You wouldn't want to be my agent. Yeah.
Why?
Radio.
It'd be easy.
I don't make money. I do everything for charity.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. I'll bet you do.
So how's it like to be able to get paid in Bitcoin? That's got to be cool, huh?
Y'all think I'm Brian Kelly or somebody?
Let's start right there, because USC got Lincoln Riley. He said yesterday to the media, I want this, and we're going to make this the mecca of college football. Immediately, the Oklahoma players said he dropped that line on us a week ago, and so they were blasting him on social media. Do you like the hire of Lincoln Riley at your alma mater?
I do like it. I'm a little nervous about the defensive side of the ball.
Uh-huh.
But I do like the fact that he has some recruiting mechanisms that can work for us. The university recruits itself, to be honest with you. It's all about the development of the player. Can he develop the player? And if he can develop the player, then we'll be fine. And if the defense can be solid, we'll be fine. But outside of that, if those things don't take shape, he'll be out of the building in 3 years anyway.
Mm. I like the idea that when I looked at his recruiting at Oklahoma, he was taking kids from Southern California, and now those kids are going to be coming with him. How does that make you feel?
Well, you know what? They always, Oklahoma, all the way back to Barry Switzer days, have always had a footprint in Southern California, from Jamel Holloway to countless others at Oklahoma. Bob Stoops and his brothers were relentless at getting Southern California kids. Roy Williams, the big safety that played for the Cowboys. I mean, I can just go on and on and on about players in Southern California that, you know, attract Oklahoma. It's only a 3-hour flight. You could take a direct flight from L.A. to Oklahoma City and drive to University of Oklahoma in 45 minutes. So that's not a big plus for me. It's putting a wide net around the university and not allowing the players like a DJU, a Stroud from Ohio State, a Bryce Young from Alabama, a JT Daniels from USC to Georgia, not allowing those players to get away. Because under Pete Carroll and John Robinson, when the days, or even Lane Kiffin, when the days of good times were there, all we would do is stack them up. One person leaves, Johnny Martin leaves, Curtis Conway comes, he leaves, Keyshawn Johnson comes, R.J. Sauer comes, and we're just one after another, after another, after another. And that's what we got to get back to. We got to get back to Marcus Allen is there, but so is Charles White. And before that, it was Anthony Davis. And before that, it was O.J. or it was Sam Bam Cunningham. And before that, it was Mike Gett. That's what we got to get back to. And I think we lost some of that for whatever reason on the development side, because everybody that is there right now on that team, for the most part, was recruited by everybody all over the country. The same guys that play at USC, Alabama wanted, Ohio State wanted, you know, Tennessee wanted, Clemson wanted. But we've done a poor job of developing those players. So it's all about the development business.
All right, on to the NFL. There's a CBS report this morning that says Jonathan Jones wrote that he's spoken to a number of executives in the National Football League that believe the Bears are going to move on, not only from Matt Nagy, but from Ryan Pace. In football operations, and that the Bears would immediately be the most attractive job in the NFL available. Do you agree with that? Because of the way they're run, some people dispute that.
The most attractive job in the, I don't know what the draft position looks like. What's the draft status?
The Bears' number one pick is the Giants. They have the Bears pick from Justin Fields.
So the Giants, so they don't have a first round pick.
They
Bears
do not.
Do not.
Take them out of the consideration as far as I'm concerned as the most attractive job. I understand they think they got a hot shot young quarterback that could play well at times, But what's your draft positioning look like? What's your salary cap money look like? You got to factor all that into the equation when you start saying it's the most attractive job available. Because if the New York Giants all of a sudden become available, is that job more available? Is it more attractive? If the Dallas Cowboys fall flat on their face, is that more attractive? Given the fact that they got a pretty good roster of players, you know, so it's like, you know, it is attractive. Somebody come in there and hit the ground running and take the Chicago Bears to a more consistent football team than they are this year. Absolutely. 100%.
The next opponent for the Bears, Key, will be the Arizona Cardinals. I'm just wondering your thoughts on how Arizona's gotten off to such a hot start and the way they run their offense.
Well, they've done a good job with and without Kyler Murray. Colt McCoy's 2-1 since he took over at the quarterback spot. He's kind of, you know, he's a journeyman backup, but he's done a good job in doing those things despite not having DeAndre Hopkins in the lineup. The Bears, depending, where's that game at?
Chicago.
Chicago, cold.
Okay, so I was just about to say, let's talk to the forecast and pray for bad weather. If you pray for bad weather with a team and a dome team in Arizona going there, it could be one of those upset-type games that comes because you're asking a dome team with thin blood to go into an environment with cold weather to try to run an offense that is not accustomed to running in those situations, in those environments and circumstances.
Key, I want to ask you about the way they have been able to play the Cardinals without Kyler Murray. So do we credit the system, or is it just that they have two good quarterbacks that are competent in McCoy and Murray to run it?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think the system allows for them to run it. They got some good players. They got two guys that understand what they're trying to do. You know, I don't think that they can go far with Colt McCoy. I mean, guys like Colt McCoy clearly is a stopgap 2-3-4-game guy. When you start getting into 5 and 6 games and he has to be the starter, then your season is lost.
Key, the interesting thing about this whole Bears deal is everything begins and ends with Justin Fields' development, but he's playing with cracked ribs. With 6 games left, 4-7, the likelihood of going to the playoffs is very, very slim. Would you sit him, or if he said, put a Kevlar vest on me, I'm good to go, would you play him?
It depends on the severity of the cracked rib. Can we injure, puncture, damage something else within his frame, or is this what it's going to be? It just all depends on what the doctors say.
I got to ask.
But if you're going to move on from Matt Nagy, and you're going to move on from Ryan Pace, well, you might want to start thinking about doing that sooner rather than later, if that's the true spirit, because now you can get a look at the rest of the team, you know, from a front office standpoint. But if that's not what you want to do, and you haven't figured who you want to hire out yet, you just keep running the table. It's hard for me when they say they're going to move on from somebody, but you still got to evaluate the talent that's there.
Key,
you don't have the general manager in place to evaluate that talent.
Key, I've got to ask you about your Lakers at this point in time when LeBron is out because of COVID-like symptoms. It's really been stop and start for him because I know that he wants to prove a point, winning a championship again with a lot of Hall of Famers around him. This is not good for the league when LeBron is not out there. So when you heard that story, what was your initial reaction? Because LeBron being out, that's not good, I don't think, for the league, or especially not the Lakers.
Well, my first reaction was, I hate COVID. That was my number one reaction. It's like, can this just go away? Go away. It has nothing to do with sports. It's just like you're disrupting people's lives and livelihood. Like, just go away. But then when you talk about the sports side of it, look, they're 12-11. We haven't even gotten to Christmas yet. So there's no sheer panic in. I think they'll be okay. As long as they get in the playoffs and not the play-in game and they healthy come down the stretch,
yeah,
I'm never going to count them out. Not with him.
Hey, man, have a great rest of your day. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
All right, man. Just remember, the Buffalo Bills.
Still alive, Key. Still alive.
All right.
We'll see you.
Laughing at you.
I was coming at him on his show one day, I don't know, 6 weeks ago. Dude, you better get on the Buffalo Bills. And every time they lose, he fires on me.
That's right. But the ticket's still available. Still
ticket's
there.
Ticket's still alive.
You never know.
That's it. You never know. Mac Jones is taking another page out of Tom Brady's playbook. That is next.
Captain J-Hood. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on Twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
In the great city of Chicago. Mac Jones is taking another page out of Tom Brady's playbook. Danny, what exactly is he going to do? Because he's built like him.
He looks like him. Slow down there.
From when they came into the league. They're very similar. That picture went viral of Mac with the cigar after they won the national title with the little paunch. He looked like Tom when he went to the combine.
Tom was ever that doughy, but go on.
He was.
It's amazing. The revisionist history of Tom Brady. It's amazing. People don't remember that guy was eating Subway when he was at Michigan.
Donuts.
That's all he could afford. He was a college student.
Correct.
I just love the revisionist history. Like, this guy was Charles Atlas the entire time.
No.
It's amazing.
He was not.
Go ahead, Danny.
He was a normal person at the time.
Gentlemen, from the once great Darren Revelle.
Normal person? He's not normal now?
No.
Wait a minute.
Go on, Danny.
Gentlemen, from the once great Darren Revelle, Patriots quarterback Mac Jones has filed to trademark MJ10 through a trademark attorney. MJ10, similar to TB12.
Okay. So what is the MJ10 system, the way of life, MJ10? What do you think that is?
Smoke cigars.
Barbecue ribs.
Ribs.
That's what I believe it is.
Let me get myself some ribs.
With sauce, by the way. Extra sauce, please. Mild sauce if you're on the south side. I think that's exactly what it is. So what would be the MJ10 plan there, Danny?
Boy, Mac, I don't know what southern thing? Some peach pie?
Mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese.
Brisket.
Yes.
Some good barbecue, some greens.
That's right.
Yes. Some sweet tea. Like, it's the total opposite of TB12.
Explain to me, what is sweet tea? Is it just iced tea with sugar in it? Is it made a different? What exactly is it?
Hang on a second. Are you asking this as a radio bit, or you actually don't know?
I actually don't know.
No, hold on a second. Were you not engaged to some Southern Belle in Louisiana?
I was.
Okay. Did they not have sweet tea on the porch?
Dude, that was 1987. I don't remember.
But you remember everything about her, though. And her mom.
Who did not like
Northerners.
Correct. No. You're a GD Yankee. That's what she told me.
And you're like,
who's stealing my daughter to the North.
And you sort of told her, I don't even know Billy Martin.
That's exactly right.
Not a Yankee.
And I said, and by the way, you're still fighting the Civil War, and we kicked your ass 200 years ago. We broke up 2 days later.
You know they had sweet tea there on the porch back then.
But what is sweet tea? Is it just iced tea with a bunch of sweetener in it? Is it a special blend? I don't know.
You ever had a nice Lipton back in the day?
I've had a nice Lipton tea. Lipton unsweetened tea.
Damn. Do you know that sweet tea has double the sugar? A good sweet tea has double the sugar of a Coca-Cola.
That's my point.
Sugar of a Coca-Cola.
Is it just iced tea with sugar dumped in it?
Yeah, I would say it's what the term is, sweet tea. Tea that's sweetened. Probably extra sweetened in that spot.
It says on Wikipedia, some parts of the South add baking soda to cut the acidity of the tea. I don't know if I've necessarily ever had it with baking soda, but sweet tea, I went to school obviously in Kansas. Sweet tea was a thing.
Yes, it was. And that's not even the South. That's just the Dust Bowl right there in the middle of the country.
Wow.
So, yeah, absolutely. Sweet tea is a Southern delicacy. And when you have family from Arkansas like my family, definitely some of the Southern delicacies was in Chicago. Had a lot of that as a kid.
Yeah, I've never had that I know of sweet tea, but I'm not like sweetened drinks. None of that is. I'm not into it.
Well, not now, but at the time. Look, when you're on the road, right? Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, I understand that. You, again, we talk about the revisionist history. You make it seem like that you were always eating well. That you always. Hey,
no,
man, you were,
that's
you,
not true.
You were an assistant coach, and you had to be going up and down the roads recruiting, and whatever was open, you were trying to get some food.
Correct.
Whenever it was open.
That's it.
Crystal Burgers, depending where you were. You know, if there was a random McDonald's, Church's Chicken, whatever was open, man. You're just like, hey, I need to have something.
Gas station burrito.
Whatever. Whatever. AM, PM when they were open back in the day.
That?
Going to an Arco station.
Are those all gone?
I saw them on the West Coast, actually, when I was in San Diego.
AM, PM. I went there.
I saw an AM, PM and an Arco. I'm like, back in the day.
Arco.
Remember the Arco stations?
I used to like to get my gas at with the Dino Dinosaur. What was that?
Sinclair?
Sinclair.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes.
The little green dinosaur?
Yes.
Because I remember they sold like a plastic or rubber dinosaur once, and I bought it, the little one.
That's correct.
So on my desk.
So they're all out west now. I saw an Arco station. The gas, $5.36 unleaded. I said, oh, God.
Yeah.
California.
It's expensive.
It's like one was $6 a gallon. I was like, you know what? I'm still going to survive.
Ted is in Berwyn. Hey, Ted, what's up, man?
Hey, buddies. How's it going?
How you doing?
Great, great. I just heard you guys talking about sweet tea. Not sure if it's the same as sun tea. But when I was younger and going to my grandmother's home in Marks, Mississippi as a kid,
mm-hmm.
which is just 45 minutes outside of Memphis. So what she did every day, and you're right, it's a southern thing. What she did every day was she made a gallon of tea in a glass container and placed it outside right there so the sun could hit it.
Yep, that's correct.
And it stayed there in the sun for about 6, 7, 8 hours. And when she brought it in, Lord have mercy, was it good. So, yeah, I just wanted to say that to all of you guys, especially my Arkansas brother right there from Mississippi bordering Arkansas.
That's exactly right.
Thanks a lot, yeah. Ted. Have a great day, man.
All of those southern delicacies, yes, can imagine sweet tea. It had to be a certain jar to a certain pitcher, I should say. Certain pitcher. Oh, it's so weird, man. You're drinking that outside, and you think, well, does it taste better? Yeah, somehow it does taste better when it's outside.
Yeah, the weather's nice.
Just things that were passed down through generations, Cap. And I think even today, some of those old rituals still occur today. By the way, sidebar, may I approach?
You may. Brought to you by Enken Law, our guy Howard Enken, 312-6 million.
I had a hell of a night in the Hood Cave last night. Basketball and all the screens. Watch Purdue. I mentioned you about Purdue.
Yeah, they're good.
Michigan, listen, it's not saying that Michigan can't win the Big Ten or be in the mix, but I'm telling you, I watched Purdue last night. Shout out to you guys in West Lafayette. You got a special team there.
They're good.
It's very good.
They're good.
Saw Duke, Ohio State, but then this is what the NBA wants. They would wish they would be able to bottle up what they had last night. The doubleheader on TNT is as good as it's ever been. Knicks Nets the first game, and Thibodeau's bitching about the officials toward the end of the game. He's not happy. He's not happy overall, right? He's not. He's made some changes in the lineup.
He benched
Kemba. He's out.
Kemba Walker. He that big signing. He's not even in the rotation.
It's like what? Like, but that shows that he's the boss, right? Kind of like Tomlin. He's the boss.
He's the boss.
So that was a hell of a game toward the end, and then the reason why for the bags under my eyes. Late night basketball, and I know I'm not supposed to do this, Cap, because we're working mornings now, but I couldn't help it. Warriors, Suns.
Right, and the Suns went, and they won the game 16-0 in the month of November.
Dude, they won 17 in a row. 17 in a row, and coming into the game, they're in second place.
Yes.
Like, that shows you how good the Warriors have been, right? Yeah. That was a hell of a game. The NBA wishes they had meaningful games like that every night.
They thumped them.
Man,
the Warriors lose.
Hell of a game. Hell of a game. So it was really good basketball. And hopefully you're watching some of the college stuff, too. And people say, I'll wait until February or March. Well, as you well know, basketball matters, including tonight, because my guy is going to be on TV first time this season doing some college basketball.
Yep, I've got Indiana State, pride and joy of Larry Bird, and Loyola, at Loyola. I'm on the call with Andy Mazur tonight on NBC Sports Chicago.
I love Andy Mazur. There's a zinger every 60 seconds coming from that guy. He's always got a joke. He's very funny.
Not so much.
Yes, he is. No, Andy's very entertaining.
He's a wonderful announcer.
I've worked with him.
He's a good man.
I've done games with Andy. He's very entertaining.
He is. And we're going to have some fun tonight.
So what time is that, 7 o'clock?
7 o'clock.
NBC Sports Chicago?
Yes, sir.
All right.
So I'll be on the call of that game.
Got your notes there?
I have them at home, sitting on my desk.
Mm.
Ready to go.
Mm. Don't forget them now.
I will not.
Don't forget. Danny's not there to remind you. You're on your own. Oh, God.
I don't have to turn my mic on, though.
Well, that's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
Let me ask you a question. What are you going to wear, pal? You got your outfit laid out? Because it can't be that.
That's his new uniform. What do you mean it can't be that? That's his look for the last 5 days and for the next week and a half.
It's J. Cap Williams.
This is
you
called
can't
a,
wear that.
This is styling. This is called a shacket. Shirt jacket.
It's very stylish, but what I love about you is you got into that style last week and you've basically worn it every single
day
since.
Last week, Danny, I've had these in my closet for a while.
You wore it on the post-game show, your post-game show for the first time when you got back from Turks and Caicos with the white shirt, so you looked extremely tan. You wanted to show that off with the gray shirt jacket thing. Since then, you've literally worn one of those every single day since, and knowing you the way I know you for the past 5 years, you will continue this trend for the next week until it flames out and you're on to your next thing.
Yes,
but this is how Kaplan goes. All in for short bursts.
It's very interesting how that worked, too, because when you got back from Turks and Caicos, the outfit you had on was terrific. So terrific that you wore it the next day like a bum.
Correct. You wore it on TV, and then you wore it that next day here, like we wouldn't notice that you just kept the same clothes on.
You know we still watch you on TV and support you on the radio at the same time.
You are accurate. That
yes, you did. No,
we know. The four of us.
No.
Mel and JR.
You can't speak for all of us. I complimented Cap the next day. I do not watch him on TV.
But then we told
there's a Carmen Yurko guy.
Thanks for the support, Mel.
Oh, well, that's not happening.
I listen to you 3 hours every day on Cap and J Hood, my favorite radio show.
Oh, yeah. And our time slot, right?
Absolutely. And your time slot.
Our my time slot, not his. All right. There you go. All right. There you have it.
It's called a shacket.
I understand that.
It's your new uniform.
Are you wearing it again tomorrow? That's the question. Another combination of same.
No, tomorrow I'm wearing probably workout gear here.
Said that yesterday.
How many of those have you bought in the last week? Just
two.
Be honest. Two in the last week. Okay.
Two.
Okay. And then what are you going to wear tomorrow? Same, different pattern? See, I don't get on you about your clothing because you got a lot of stuff to do. After the show, it might be a meeting. So you're just making sure you're prepared.
Correct.
That's the one thing about this show. You don't hear me get on you about what you wear, right?
Correct.
Okay. But I did have an issue with you wearing something on TV and then coming in the next day. Smelling it, going, oh, it's still clean. Take that. That doesn't work for me, pal. You can't do that.
Would you spend $2 million on virtual real estate? That's next. This hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball, Chicago's Big Ten team coach Collins and the Cats. Host DePaul, Illinois, Purdue, and more at Welsh Ryan Arena this winter. Buy tickets now at NUSports.com.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Chicago.
So we have this great text exchange for our morning show.
Don't forget, we're going to be taillights at 10. This is going to be Carmen and Yurko, Chicago.
I thought it was the Meller Show with Carmen and Yurko. And we all find interesting stories, animal stories, or whatever it is, whatever nonsense we can find, and we send it out to the group. And then JR stumbled into a story, and I want to know if you were sober reading this story, if the story just blew your mind. Well, take us inside virtual real estate, because I know nothing about crypto except that I don't own any.
Okay, well, so this is, let's credit this properly. First of all, Hood found this story. Okay, so I'm glad you pay attention on the text chain. It's basically talking about
this
the metaverse.
Different than anything else.
Right. Talking about what they're going to build. It's a new virtual reality where people are now buying and paying for real estate inside this virtual world. That's kind of what you teased going into the break there, Ken.
Yes, and you could find this in entrepreneur.com. The piece is entitled, They Buy Virtual Land Inside Metaverse for $2.4 million. They. Let's talk about they.
Okay, so let's imagine you're a company that you want to invest in something in the future, but you don't really know what it is, and you're taking a gamble. Maybe you'd like to be the next big thing.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy territory in this virtual world. Think of it like a PSL.
Okay.
Right? You pay $2.4 million for a plot of land in this metaverse that actually has, like, actual measurements.
They're talking money, Cap. Pay attention. Go ahead.
I am.
Okay. You're using crypto for this, right?
And,
that's where this all comes back to. It's that whole crypto thing that everyone is so confused about.
And I told
Hoodie
the story,
right?
The guy I used to work with at TV who was making, like, no money, and he just kept buying. 2013, I'm like, what are you doing? Buying bitcoins for $40 up to $750, and now he's retired. I'm like, oh, God.
Right, so there's obviously a demand that's increased for that. So as virtual reality becomes more and more popular, and we have different ways to access it, places like this are going to be more accessible to more people. Now, imagine you were in on the beginning of the internet and you could sell apps to everyone. Let's say you were Apple,
right?
And you got in on that early and you became the go-to place for everyone's apps.
Mm-hmm.
That's what these people are trying to do. These companies that are buying space in this metaverse, they're trying to build a market that you would be able to purchase things with crypto in their shop. Like almost like a storefront. Think about it like that.
But you know, JR, it just sounds strange because it's nothing that you can touch and feel, but something that you could see in this universe, in this metaverse.
Right. And
but you see it with glasses.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, think about this. 30 years ago, we were all thinking, what do you mean I'm going to carry my phone around and stare at it all day? Now you can't get detached from it. Imagine what it's going to be like once we get the technology that catches up. So you can do whatever you want with this space within that metaverse, right? If you want to sell, let's say, virtual outfits for people, they pay you in crypto, and then you make your money that way. This is an interesting investment. I think it's kind of risky, but I think it's no different than spending $6 million on a 30-second Super Bowl ad. It comes and goes, right?
But I was going to invest in something like this.
Lululemon, for instance.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Let's use that as an example.
Okay. If I was going to invest in this virtual space, oh, my God, you see the land I just bought? Virtually this amazing lakefront spot for millions of dollars. I'm really investing for my heirs, for my kids.
Right.
By the time this is all there, I'm going to be gone.
Well, I mean, again, you can use it for different things. If you own that land, you can lease it. You can sell advertising on it. You can have people pay for experiences within your space. Right. That's how you would get your income. You don't necessarily have to develop it, but you could lease it out to other people who might be interested and maybe don't have that chunk of coin. I don't have $2.5 million.
No,
but maybe I have $100,000.
But,
and maybe I could get a part of that space.
But JR, like, so people are listening to us right now saying, okay, is this real? Well, we used to call it back in the day, it's blueprints.
Right. It's virtual reality, right? You put a headset on and you blow each other up with tanks, right? That was the extent of a virtual reality. This is going to be different. Everyone is going to have a virtual representation of themselves at one point. Think about this, Cap. You're going to need outfits in your virtual world.
I'm going to need shackets.
Right. So where are you going to go get it? Someplace like this within the metaverse.
Within the metaverse, but not in real life, though. Right, JR?
Well, again, I mean, how much of this is real? How much of your virtual self is a true part of what you are doing, right? I mean, you're still expressing yourself, just not in this platform, right? In a more of a screened platform.
You high right now?
No, I am not.
Okay. Because
I'm all hands, I know,
but I want you to compare this to social media in that regard.
Okay, social media.
Because that's not real either, right?
Right.
That's not real life, but for some it is.
Okay, sure. And you have different apps on your phone within social media, right? Maybe
right.
You have a Bitmoji app, right?
Yep.
Where you dress yourself up. And here's me, I'm Jay Hood, and I've got a cool shacket on, and I've got some headphones, accessories. Guess what? You're going to be able to purchase all that stuff inside of this virtual world. Cool clothes, cool haircut. Cool stuff. It's just going to take a couple, you know, crypto tokens here and there. And that's how people are going to make money off of it.
Do you have any idea what crypto went up to? I was looking at this article yesterday. What crypto has gone up since like 2015? Like 1,000,000%.
Yeah.
Right. And crypto as a whole in general, right? There's specific individual cryptocurrencies that make that up, right? Bitcoin is the big one. Right. Everyone knows. Everyone's heard of Bitcoin. That's the biggest, I think, most mainstream cryptocurrency there is.
Ethereum is also another one that's starting to go mm-hmm. up.
Yeah.
But I mean, listen, Danny, like I know that for us as Gen Xers, you as a baby boomer, like it is bizarre, right?
I can't wrap my head around it, even though I've now heard JR explain it two times. Yeah. Once this morning in the IDOT bullpen and once right now. I still cannot wrap my mind around it, and I feel like anybody that would spend $2.5 million on nothing deserves not to have $2.5 million to spend.
Well, I can't argue with you because I don't quite get it either, but at some point, we're all going to put on something that's going to be able to access this place, and we're going to go, oh, damn, that's what they spent the money
on. So we're not going to need our bodies anymore. We're going to live our lives in virtual reality, laying on a couch.
Well, you might, but I don't know. I mean, I like life, too. I think it would be a nice blend.
Could you open the first pot store in this virtual universe?
Well, it'd have to be virtual pot, right? So it's not really real pot, Danny. So that's a whole different...
So how would you get high?
You know what? We're going to have to explore that.
That's a longer conversation, but I think that for some, Cap, they would rather be... Some people would rather be in virtual reality than actual reality. When they got to pull the glasses off, it's like, oh, God, I got bills. I got a wife I don't like.
But they're living in this virtual world. They're like, you see that mansion I built?
But the thing is, if you live your whole life in the virtual world, you never marry that wife you don't like and you never get that job you hate. Because it's a virtual world, you could have any wife you want.
Right,
and
so
you can have any job you want.
You've got a supermodel every night you're coming home
Correct.
To.
Correct. That's like the point of this virtual world is you never have to live real life. The struggles, the ups and downs, the stuff that sucks.
Yes, but when you take the glasses off, you see that messy apartment and you got to get that pizza from the pizza delivery guy.
But what JR's saying is you're never going to come out of that world.
While there's different districts and different things you can do within this virtual world, I think it's going to be really interesting. But yeah, I don't know that I'll be around to see.
Who wants to play in the red light district of the cryptocurrency, huh?
Yes, I'm all for it.
What are you doing? I'm going to have some fun tonight.
You know why when you see pictures of aliens, their heads are huge and they're...